I just love those the refrain there, perfect submission, all is at rest, perfect submission, perfect delight. Man, when we submit to our God, things are good. But when we don't, it can be trouble. Please hear the scripture that we have for today, coming from Judges chapter 2. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of those who plundered them. Yet they did not listen to their judges, for they whored after other gods and bowed down to them. They soon turned aside from the way in which their fathers had walked, who had obeyed the commands of the Lord, and they did not do so. Whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge, and he saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who afflicted and oppressed them. But whenever the judge died, they turned back and were more corrupt than their fathers, going after other gods, serving them, and bowing down to them. They did not drop any of their practices or their stubborn ways. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this teaching that you have for us today. God, we pray that our hearts and our minds would be open, that you would speak to us your word, that we would hear it, that we would receive it, that we would live by it. Fill us with your spirit, God, that we may live your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a story of my brother-in-law, Jason Wood, and this is Rebecca's oldest brother, and there was a time that he was in high school and grades were not that great, and his parents were trying to make him study and spend time actually learning and doing these things. And Jason is a wonderful individual, but can be obstinate. Is that correct, Rebecca? Jason, in defiance, said, "You can chain me to this chair, you can chain me to my desk, you can put the book open in front of me, but you can't make me study." And is that how it goes? Man, aren't we glad we aren't stubborn anymore? This is kind of what was going on with the people of Israel as it was time for these judges. How do we get to this point? Well, you remember that in creation, God created the world, everything we see and know, and God created us, man and woman. And he gave us this special gift, being made in his image. And he breathed life into us, and we were there in the Garden of Eden to live a wonderful life and to serve God. But we sinned, and because of that sin, there were consequences. Man was cast out of the Garden of Eden, and on the days came when people multiplied on the earth, and it says that their thoughts were evil continually. And it said that the Lord regretted that he made them. But there was one man, Noah, and his family who were faithful to God. God told Noah to build an ark, and on that ark he saved humankind. After the waters subsided, Noah and his family multiplied on the earth. God raised up a man, Abraham. He chose this man to make him a nation because Abraham feared God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. God gave him a son, Isaac. He gave Isaac a son, Jacob. He gave Jacob many sons. They ended up in Egypt. And for 430 years, they were in slavery. But God raised up another man, Moses, to free his people from Egypt and to bring them to this promised land that he had promised Abraham. Moses brought the people of Israel out of Egypt. And the people of Israel finally came to the promised land. Before going in, they sent some spies to figure out how it was to go in, how to take this land. 12 spies, one from each tribe. They came back. 10 of the 12 reported, "Yes, this is a wonderful land, full of milk and honey, grapes the size of your head. It's a wonderful place. The problem is, there's giants. We're like grasshoppers to these people, and there's no way we can take them." But there are two judges, there are two spies. Joshua was one of them, and Joshua said, "You know what? We can take this land. It's true. It's a wonderful land. It's true that there's giants there, but God has promised this to us. And if we are faithful to God, He'll be faithful to us, and we can go in and we can take this land." The people, instead of listening to Joshua, they listened to the other spies. They were afraid and they were frightened. So God put them in the desert for 40 years until that generation had died off and there is a new generation. Joshua led these people into the promised land. And with God on their side, they were able to take over their enemies. They were able to fill the land with their own people. Here it was. They had this place. But they didn't follow God's word, His command, all the way. They didn't destroy everything. They didn't destroy everybody. And you know, that's one of those things that's a little bit difficult to understand, that God would want to destroy all the people in this land of Canaan. But this is God. And I have to remind myself that, you know, God knows a lot better than I do. And if God says this is right, then this is right. And there's another thing, that God was waiting for the sins of the people in this land to be full. That's one reason that Israel had to wait in as slaves for 430 years. So these were bad people. They were doing bad things. One of their practices was they had a god that was bronze, and they would put a fire underneath there and heat the whole thing up, searing hot. And then to sacrifice to their god, they would place babies, infants, upon this god's arms. Flesh would be seared from the child and they would die. And so there are people who say, well, how can there be a God if there is evil that exists? But then at the same time, when God stops evil, they say, well, how could God do that? God was bringing about His judgment on the people of the land. But then we get to this conundrum, this problem, that Israel, while they were there, Israel, while they were the people of God, they didn't follow God. There was a generation that did. Joshua died off. People began to follow the gods of the people around them, of their enemies. They began to worship Baal. They put up this Asherah poles and they worshiped these false gods. They stopped following God and His ways. And they whored after other gods, as the scripture says. And so, there were consequences to be met. And that is that when you don't follow God, things don't go well. That doesn't mean that when you follow God, everything's going to be rosy. There's not going to be any problems. But you have God there to protect you, to guard you. People stopped following God. Their enemies came in and overtook them. They cried out to God, and God, in his mercy, in his grace, and in his love, raised up judges. These judges would go out, they would defeat the enemy of Israel, and they would serve as judge to the people, discerning between what was right and what was wrong. And so the cycle went. As a judge came up, the people followed after. They repented and they followed after the ways of God, and then the judge died. The people went back to serving other gods. Things went bad. The people would pray and cry out to God. God would raise up a judge, and so on and so forth. What does this mean for us? How does this point to God as we talk about a Savior being born? One of the things about these judges, this is in the verse that we read, whenever the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge, and he saved them from the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. Christ came. Christ came. And God was with him. Jesus was God. Second person of the Trinity, right? The Son. The Word made flesh. But also, we see this wonderful moment at his baptism with John the Baptist, that the Spirit descended upon him as a dove. And we get this voice from heaven crying out, "This is my Son, whom I am well pleased." And in that one picture, we see the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit acting as one. Jesus was not just there on his own, some renegade God doing his own thing. He was there with the Spirit of God. He was there to make judgment upon our enemies. But see, there, here's the difference between this new covenant and the old covenant. What really was the problem that Israel had? You could say that it was these enemies who were coming in and they were overtaking them. So you could say part of our problem is, well, you know, we have racism and there's murders and there's this and that going on with our society. But what is really the main problem? The people followed after other gods. The main problem is that they did not listen to God. The main problem is that they stopped following the Lord God. And that is our problem today. There are symptoms to that problem. We are very familiar with the symptoms. We could talk all day about what's going on and what to do to fix it and this and that. The main problem is that God has been pushed out of our society. And one of the problems in our own life is that we begin to follow after the gods of the people around us. We see society, we say, you know what, this god of money, that seems pretty good. Maybe I'll be happy with that. We say, oh, this God of beauty, this God of success, this God of sex, this God of popularity, whatever the case may be, we begin to follow after these other gods. And in our own life, we stop trusting in God, the Lord God, to fulfill us, to satisfy us, to give us what it is that we need. But here's the good news, that Christ came. Jesus came. And he knows well our enemy. He knows our problems. He knows what it is that we need. It says that he was tempted in every way. He knows what it is that we have been through. And it says he was without sin. That he conquered. He was victorious. And in his life, he gave us the ultimate gift of his death. In his death, he conquered sin. He conquered hell. He conquered death because he came back to life. And for us, that means that we no longer have to live with this enemy constantly coming in around us and overtaking us, but we now have this victory in Christ. We now have the blood of Christ that covers us, that covers our sins, that we can live a life that is honoring and that is pleasing to God, that we can live a life in the victory that He has promised to us. Judges 3 says, when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the people of Israel. Does that terminology sound familiar? Jesus, our deliverer. Verse 10, it says, the Spirit the Lord was upon him, and he judged Israel. This time of the judges was a difficult time. It says that the people had no king. They did what was right in their own eyes. We can see that in our society as we look around. And if we're honest, we can see that in ourselves. But the good news is that Jesus came. He came to judge our sins and to nail them to the cross. He came to defeat our enemies so that we could live in freedom. Today, as we are remembering what it means of this Savior, a Savior is born. Let us remember the Savior that Israel needed. And let us remember the Savior that we need. Let us put aside all encumbrances. Let us put aside all things that get in the way and follow after God, who is the only one who can give us the freedom we so desire. And let us not forget to share this good news with the people around us so that they too can live a life that is free. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your great sacrifice and your great love. We thank you for being with us. We thank you for sending a deliverer. God, we pray that in all things we would trust in you. We would follow after you. God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.